Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it to each and every heart here. Anoint your speaker as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You that have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Romans. Romans 1:18, the 17th verse was where we were at the last there. And he's talking about a revelation of Christ and what that power of that revelation is. Now we're going to go into now condemnation after this introduction. Now note how he gives you first revelation of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, or through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to get a revelation of God's wrath from heaven. This is creation. All these tornadoes, all these hurricanes. You hear people now say it's the wrath of God. Even people that don't believe in God, or don't seem to believe in God. Now you can get a revelation of his wrath. You can get a revelation him as creator in the mountains. There's people that have said, I don't have to be in church Sunday. I get a revelation of God up in the mountains. Yep, you do. You get a revelation of him as creator. But you don't get a revelation of him personally. I asked a woman one time, I says, don't you want to know God? She says, not really. And, of course, I knew she was lying because she didn't have to come down to get the mail and she knew what I was going to talk about. You see? Because in her heart, that empty heart, that's what you want to know. Because that was whom you were made to know. And anything else and anybody else is secondary. You will thirst forever if you don't know him. But you will never get to know him by going to the mountains. You can only get to know him personally through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we just went through. And it only will come by a revelation. And it will only come by the revelation of Paul's gospel. For you to get to know him personally. That's what we just went through. First, he tells you this before he gets into the wrath and the condemnation of God. That's what he tells you. First, God had made a plan way before the foundation of the world that he would have sons and daughters that would get to know him. The only way I could ever have someone that got to know me was to have a child. They took on my likeness. It had to be a birth. And that's what he's teaching here. And then you only get to know him through the revelation of Paul's gospel to your heart. You will never come into a deep fellowship and a deep revelation with God unless you study and take to heart Paul's gospel. We left off, I went back to the 17th verse, because Paul sums up the Old Testament that way. He says, this is how the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and he quotes Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. I've never read it, but I was told that this was what Martin Luther, the scripture that got him, as he was doing penance for something he had done, this was the scripture that kept going through his mind. And he could not get it out of his mind. The just. As Dad used to teach this, how God, Romans, how God makes wicked men just. This is Romans. Then he would go to live. And then he would go to Galatians. Where in Galatians, Paul says just before he says this, you that want to be under the law, don't you really know what the law says? It says, cursed is anyone that continueth, not just for the time that you went and confessed your sins and got up to go sin again. It says, if you do not continue always to do it continually, you're cursed. And then he says it only comes through Christ, and then he quotes this again. That's the only way you can live, is by faith. It isn't of works, lest anybody should boast. And then, of course, faith is Hebrews. And we have the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and then we have this quoted again. The just, Romans, teaches you how wicked men were made just. Galatians tells you, are ye so foolish? Having began in the Spirit, are you now going to made perfectly through the flesh? He tells you that after you're saved and after you've been justified, it's the same way. By faith. From faith to faith. From a baby faith to a grown faith. And, of course, faith, he explains there that those people that were the conquerors of faith, it was Jesus Christ, the same to them that day, before they ever knew he was slain before the foundation of the world and agreed to it. He was had never failed to one of them, and it goes over every kind of person. And he was going to be faithful exactly what he said and what he would bring them into. But yet, it was something that was more evident than what they seen or what we see here. That's the faith. So here's how he ends this. So we had got to the Matthew 5:17. And with talking with people, and you remember when you talk to these people, that that's the way they've been raised. You understand that. There's Scott there nodding his head. He knows that for me to first get up and tell you that that scripture meant not that, I'd have an argument with you, wouldn't I? Right away. I had a man tell me this week on that. He said, you went over that a little? And I said, well, I ran out of time. He says, you're going to have to go over that at least 3 hours and then 3 hours with me again. See? Because I don't see it that way. I wasn't raised that way. Let's turn there again to that, because that's where we were. So we just well as not go on until we see the just from faith to faith. It's either faith or works. It's either grace or it's works. It's either for God so loved the world, or if you're to be in the kingdom, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not you must keep the law. So it cannot be both. But which is it? Is Jesus here contradicting himself? Is he? When he says this, let's look at it again real close. We ran out of time. I'm at Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. That's the quote, the law and the prophets until John. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Now to tell the vast majority of these churches that the law is been done away with, they will take you here. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot, one tittle shall in no ways pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Now, he fulfilled the law. You can explain that to them. And he fulfilled it and proved that it took a pure, sinless life to do that. And he proved it that he had that life, and he was the only one that had that life. And he would fulfill it by paying the penalty of breaking that law, which was death. He fulfilled it. But then it says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. Notice how he says least commandments shall be least. And then he turns right around to what we consider the greatest breaking of any of them. He'll say it here in a few minutes, or just a few words. Murder. That's where he goes, right to murder. But what he wants to get clear first here is what he's telling you here is James 2:10, which says, he that breaks one law has broke all of them. So if you broke the least, which one do you consider the least? Do you consider keeping the Sabbath the least? You know, you don't want to maybe tell falsehoods against your neighbor. You know, that isn't, it's so beautiful put. It isn't, telling a fish story. He says you're telling lies against your neighbor. See, you're hurting somebody with your lies. You're not just a person that stretches a fish. You're a person that hurts people by telling lies. And we could go through them, and you might think the first one and that second one, that's the worst of all if you realize it. But notice he don't go there. He goes to what men consider the worst. But he wants you to know first, the least, the least. And he that has broke one of them has broke them all. He's proved he's a sinner. If you ever sinned one time, you prove you are a sinner. He never sinned one time. He completely fulfilled it. He proved he had that pure life that could not sin. And that's the life, of course, he perfected. And he perfected a pure human righteousness that Adam did not and failed to produce. And then he laid it down. But he says here, if you break one of the least the commandments and teach men so. Now, I get that. And teach men so. Anybody that gets up and teaches you that you can keep the law is not teaching you so. He's not teaching you the way you can keep the least of the commandment. You have to have his life to do it. He told the woman in adultery, first it was neither do I condemn thee. That was first. See? If he'd have said, go and sin no more, she'd have been in a pickle. But he says, I don't condemn thee. Whosoever is in Christ has no condemnation, huh? That was what gave her the power not to go sin no more, was the life she had. These are people like the people that you see on television telling you to keep the Ten Commandments. This is whom he's addressing in his day. So how are you going to teach somebody not to break the least of these commandments unless you teach them they need a new life to do that? You must be born again to keep the least of the commandment. And by the way, a guy did go out and break the Sabbath just a little and they killed him. If you want to really get under the law, it's what Paul says. You know what the law says? Surely anybody that's gone to church this morning and has decided that they were going to keep the Ten Commandments this week does not know what the Ten Commandments say. And the law says. See, the law now is dictating to you instead of the Holy Ghost. The law is the one that is the glory in your life instead of the Holy Ghost. So how is the Holy Ghost going to rule in your life when you're trying to keep something that you absolutely have put aside? The Holy Ghost will only work with that Christ life in you. He came to glorify that life in you and that life alone in you. So he tells them, if you teach somebody to break the law, you're teaching them to try to keep the law for themselves. What kind of a teacher are you? To tell somebody to do something that nobody has done and nobody can do. This is the way he approaches it here. And shall be called the least. They could get to heaven, but of course in the next verse they can't even get to heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do, notice that. Like I said, Paul in Galatians 3:10, he says, cursed is anyone that continueth not in all the law. Nobody is justified except by grace. And nobody goes on except by grace. So what are you teaching? What are you believing? Are you teaching somebody to do something that they absolutely cannot do? Or are you teaching them Christ is sufficient? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The law is written for the lawless. You're not lawless. You're a saint, not a sinner. We just read that. And that saintly life will be dictated and have the power of the Holy Ghost. Dad used to have a book and just let it fall. And that's how you fall. We'll learn that it just gets worse and worse when you're dictated by the law. Now remember, if you're going to keep the law, you got to keep every bit of it. And the law has never justified one person. It's never sanctified one person. It can neither give you life or give you a life that can. It can only kill you if you don't. That's what the law does. So he says, teach the same shall be called, or do. Whosoever shall do. Remember, you got to do it. You can't say, I tried. God doesn't give you one award for trying. And if you do it, and you did do it, you still wouldn't be a divine son of God. Because the only way you can become a divine son of God is to get a divine life when you're born again. You would have only perfected what Adam could have perfected. And that would have been a human perfection. That's all he'd have got. He would have never been divine. Jesus he already was divine. He merely perfected the human side of it. What Adam, he made that up, what Adam didn't do. That's how he fulfilled it. He would meet the demand of the law for us. That's when he went down into the Jordan, is where he identified with us. And he would take our penalty, and he did. Then he says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." In other words, he was telling them, and even if you did get that human righteousness, you wouldn't go to heaven. You'd still be earthly. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the only way we got the heavenly nature was because of the heavenly man, the second man from heaven. That's how we got it. So he tells them, now, unless you have my righteousness, you're not going to get in heaven. You see? He took the law keepers of his day. They tithed with the smallest to the biggest. And I seen there on television the other day, and they were showing a mustard seed, the smallest, and it's a lot bigger than a tobacco seed. But it just meant in that world of that day what they knew. But they tithe. Do you think that I got two neighbors, and they are trying to not go to hell. And they just are completely bewildered now at me because they wanted to come over and edge my lawn, the guy. And they wanted cookies and all these kind of things. And the Lord makes it so that I have to help them. How are they going to get their merits? Unless they help an old guy like me. And the Lord turns it every time on them. Till it's really getting bad. You can imagine what's happening there. But those people believe in hell. Don't you think they don't? And they're ones that are trying not to go there. They don't want to go there. And they are 100% right. There's a hell that you can't even dream of. You can't even dream of. And it's true. It's there for him. I know of a priest. I heard him say this is what he said. And he had enough knowledge to know. He said, "My name is written down." He was talking. "My name has been written down before the foundation of the world," he said. "And that's where I'm going." And then he looked down and he said, "But I'll tell you what. My family's here, so I'll have to admit," he said, "I'm going to have to do some time in purgatory." And he looked at him. He says, "Probably a lot of time." Now that man was sincere. And for you to try to tell him about not keeping this law, he's going to turn you here. And you better know what to tell him when he turns there. Because when you get out there, even the rottenness of those people believe you got to keep this. Some of them will say, "The hell with it. I'm going to hell. I just as well as try to do a little bit of enjoyment here." And they don't find it. It's worse. But then he goes to murder. Ye have heard that it is said, old time, that thou shalt not kill. Now this word kill is murder. When you go back to the Old Testament, when it says thou shalt not kill, that is thou shalt do no more murder. I'm not going to give you a Bible study on that. But when the Lord said kill and eat, Peter, when the net was brought down, that's a different word. So that's all you have to know. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now he goes to murder in the heart. What's he doing here? Is he telling them to keep this law? Or is he showing that even the intent of everybody's heart is a murderer? Do you think Abel didn't get mad at Cain a few times those years? Do you think he didn't get mad enough to kill him and hate him? Sure he did, but he didn't. He was redeemed. See what he's saying? You need a new heart. And whosoever shall teach men different and teach them that they can keep this without a new heart, they're in a lot of trouble. Because neither do they do it, nor does anybody do it. Then he says, but I say in the day, whosoever has got a temper. Cain's got out of it, didn't he? He wouldn't accept the Lord. And without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. But who's, see, he's an inner thing. Murderer. He goes to that one. From the least commandment to you're a murderer. Has anybody ever hated here? That's what he's saying. You got hate in your heart? I don't know where, what world you're from. You sure didn't go into the life. You sure weren't on the U.S. Rochester with me. I'll tell you, there would have been a time I would have rather shot the guys I was with than shot the enemy. And I mean that. And if you haven't been there, you haven't been there. I see these guys that know exactly, they're laughing exactly what I'm talking about. And a lot of those guys do get shot when they get on the line. And then he tells you, if you're going to, this is how you'd have to do it. Don't say bring a gift to God and still hate your brother. Huh? How can you have fellowship with God and hate your brother, he's saying. First, go get that right. Don't ever go to God and pretend that you're going to have a deep, deep fellowship with him and you hate one of your brothers. You just wells forget it. And that's what he says here. You see what he's driving to? He's driving, you can't keep this. You can't do this. You're a sinner. And you can't walk on water afterwards unless you completely look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of everything he started in your life. And don't try to pawn off that you have done so much for the weak and kept so much that that is your merit. So he says to 25, agree with thy adversary quickly. Of course, as far as the Jews were concerned and the religious leaders, Jesus was their adversary. Paul was their adversary. He was trying to do away with the law. Like Cain, the first self-righteous person. You try to take away their merits, and they'll hate you enough to kill you. You expose them that way, they'll try to kill you. Just like Cain wanted to kill Abel the minute that his self-righteousness was going to be taken away from him. And he says, agree with thy adversaries. Notice he's talking about a judge here. Christ is going to be the judge of all of it. But of course, Moses was their adversary. Later on in John 5:45, he's going to say, "Oh, you trust in Moses? He's your guy? Wait till you meet him." What happened with Moses? Huh? Numbers 14, God was going to kill a whole nation for unbelief under Moses. You went out and gathered the sticks. Moses had you brought up and stoned to death. A murderer? They had a trial right then. Got around you and threw you in a pit. And everybody had to pick up a rock and start throwing it at you. Your adversary. That guy isn't the one you want. He says you better agree with him that you can't do it. And you better do it while you're here. You better not wait till the judgment day to find out that Moses isn't your Savior, that I am. Don't wait till then. Agree with thy adversary, the law, quickly. I'm guilty. Guilty as any sinner there is. While thou art in the way with him, you better agree before you get there. You better quit trying to keep the law before you get there. Because when you get there, if that's what you're trusting, you're going to be very sadly disappointed. Because he knows you didn't keep it. How does he address all the churches? I know your works. Huh. Don't try to put your good works off on him. Your self-righteousness off on him. Now, he gave you a righteous life that's the pure life that he had. That's how he's the one that can glory. We read earlier in Romans 1:4 that he has the perfect spiritual righteousness, the spirit of holiness. When Moses in 2 Corinthians 3, when he comes down off the mount, the glory of the law started to go away. But who in heaven can just shine with that law? Jesus! He's the only one that did it! He's the only one that can glory in the law! And he does. He's our surety. See? Holy! Isn't anything wrong with the law? That's just it. It's perfect. It's in you. See? There's nothing wrong with that law. Nobody's ever found anything wrong with it. And nobody will. But it says that's just it. It was given to who? A carnal person sold in sin. What business do you have if you're a carnal person sold into sin, fooling with a law that's going to kill you? So that's what he says here. You better agree with it before you get there. Don't wait till you get there. You better take the grace way and give grace to your brother here. That's why he said that first. Notice how beautiful he brings this out. Lest at any time, and it could be BAM, when he ends it for you. Any time the law has got the right to say he's by the law, that's it. Any time if you're a law keeper. And he deliver you to the judge. And the judge, of course, Moses, that's how you went for it. Of course, Christ will be there for that. Deliver thee to the officer, and thou and the angels shall gather them, and where shall he put them? Huh? into prison. And verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou shall by no means come out until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And you never can. Remember how he said there was a guy that owed another guy a half a day's wages. And there was a guy that had been forgiven 2 million lifetimes of wages. That's how long it would have taken him to make that much money. See, if you read that, you realize that during that time there was no way. That guy would have had to hit a lotto out of this world to ever pay that back. So how could he? In other words, he's saying he never can and never will. And you won't come out unless, how can you get an eternal life there? How can you get the life of Christ there? You can't. Judas, as he died, as he said to him, I have shed the blood of an innocent man, not the Savior. It was too late for him to call him Savior. There comes a time when he can't be your Savior. And so it is. He's saying, you'll never become righteous in hell. How are you going to get righteous in hell? Ye have heard that it is said in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever shall look on the woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. In other words, he's dealing with a new heart. Whosoever shall teach anybody, how to keep commandments is a heart. It's a heart thing. If you tell somebody you take the Lord Jesus, then you can start doing that. You'll do these things. But if you don't, if you're not born again, you can tell that person, you better start reading that right. You're going to finally meet the judge. And you're going to finally meet Moses. And you'll find out that there is no mitigating of his law. None whatsoever. And if you broke it one time, it proves you're a sinner. And that's where you're going to end up, just exactly where he said you're going to end up. In that prison forever, which is called the lake of fire in other places. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out now and cast it from thee, for it is profitable. It'd be a lot better to go to hell blind, to heaven blind, than to go to hell with two eyes. So what he's trying to say is, under the law, if you look at something and you lust after something, you better start plucking out your eye. And then as soon as you get over that, you look at with the other eye and it hasn't changed a bit. So you're going to have to get rid of that eye. And then you're going to have to cut out your feet. And then you're going to have to cut off your hands. Because the minute somebody's back's turned, you would steal $1 million with those hands. See, he's dealing with the heart. And then you have to cut out the tongue, because it's given in a way that your heart hasn't changed at all after you've cut off your feet, your hands, and put out your eyes. Fanny J. Crosby, ask her. See, she knew it was a heart. It's a heart thing. A new life thing. And as Paul said, the law wasn't ever written for that righteous life. It doesn't need it. The law was written to show you you can't do it. Of course, you tell those people that and they get mad. Oh, he gave us that and we couldn't do? Sure. That's the only way he can. And he still can't most people. How many times do you think people have said, well, I don't do too bad. At least I'm trying. See? How ignorant that is. And so you finally end up with in hell anyway because of the heart. Because you were born a sinner. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. But notice that the whole body, wouldn't it be better? Well, he's given you a real good example and a real good picture of what hell's going to be. Do you think hell would be tougher on you than if you had plucked out your eyes, cut off your hand and your feet? You think you wouldn't be in misery? But he says, no, it's a lot better to be like that here than to be there. And he wasn't fooling you when he said that. And then he goes, it's been said, whatsoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing in divorcement. But I say unto thee that whosoever shall put away their wife, saving of the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. And again, you have heard that it has been said of them in old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Now that wife there is Israel. He had a right to put her away. Because she fornicated. She put herself under an oath. She said, I do, and I will. Didn't she? And then she broke every one of her marriage vows. With idols and everything else. So he had the right to put her away, and he did. For a little while. So, again, ye have heard that it has been said by them in old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. Yeah. If you're going to get into Exodus 19:8, and if you're going to go out of here and decide that you are still going to keep the law, you've got to keep it. That's what he says, Exodus 19:8. Read where they said, we'll keep it. We'll do it. But I say unto thee, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, and he goes. He says, now don't do what the children of Israel did. Don't go putting yourself under that you're going to do it again or you're not going to do it again. Anything more than that comes of evil. Yes to agree and no. He says anything beyond, don't go around and make, I'm going to keep the law. This time I'm going to do it. Now, he didn't mean just agree and yes and no. Paul said we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. But that's the way. He didn't mean that you don't open your mouth anymore because I know I'm just going to fail again. He didn't mean that. He wants you to see that he has given you his very own life that cannot fail. And if you operate exactly the way it works through the Spirit, it will work for you the same as it works for anybody. That's the way he will have these saints that will be full-grown saints that will rule this universe with him forever. That's the way he does it. And that's the way it will be. Let's stand.